Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second?
Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue. And the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors.
Yes, welcome back to the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. In today's episode, on the Investor Spotlight is Cassandra Milton from episode 58. Now, her story is pretty amazing. She experienced the downturn of the market in 2009 and then held and was able to come out with a six-figure profit on the back end. And so I know there's a lot of talk about, you know, the real estate market and where is it going? Is it going up? Is it going down? What's going to happen? And so this episode will give you insight on how to be patient and how to hold even when it seems everything around you is not going the way that you want it. So without any further ado, get those notepads out and the pens ready because she dropped some gems in this spotlight. Let's get into it.
So walk us through the beginning. You know, what was it like, you know, buying your first property, that whole experience? Tell us more about how that was.
Okay. So when I first started thinking about buying a property, when I graduated from college, I was 21, fresh out of school. And I said, Dad, I want to buy a two-family house. And I remember he told me I should wait until I get a husband to buy a house. And I was like, yeah, I'm not going to do that. And so what I did is I utilized an FHA. And I purchased a townhouse in Northern Virginia. This was in 2004. And my plan was essentially live in that house for, you know, about a year and then rent it out and buy your next one. So a lot of people call it house hacking. So essentially that was my plan. I purchased that house, lived in it for exactly 12 months. In the summer of 2005, I went and purchased a condo and rented out the townhouse. And after that, the market crashed. So I actually was forced into becoming a landlord. And it kind of just blossomed from there. But that's essentially how it started, using that FHA, putting down, I think it's 3.5%. And, you know, just having that strategy of live there for a year, but go on to the next one, and let's just keep growing. I definitely have more of a buy and hold type of mentality. So I was never really interested in flipping it. It was more or less, let's see what, you know, we can acquire along the way by utilizing that strategy. So that's how I started out.
For sure. And you mentioned that also during that period of time, the market crashed. What was it like, at that time, like for you, just having those properties and things probably seeming like it changed overnight?
Yeah, it was crazy. So it was the best learning situation though. Like, you know, like I said, I was very young at the time. I purchased the property. And at the time, like I bought my first townhouse, I think I spent $237 for it. Within a year, it went up to $350. In hindsight, I wish I would have sold it, but I held on to it and rented it out. And then, like I said, I bought the condo. I bought the condo for $240. The following year, a lot of people always say 2008 is the year that the market crashed. 2006, you felt it. The following year, which was 06, I went to try to sell it, and it was already down about $10,000-$15,000. At the time, nobody really thought it was going to crash in the way that it did. So I was kind of like, oh, wait it out and, you know, it'll go back up. By 2008, they were selling for like $60,000-$70,000. So a property that I spent around $254 was essentially going for, that's peanuts compared to what I spent on, you know, for it, you know, and history, you know, the market crash lasted, you know, for quite some time before it actually rebounded. During that time, I did take advantage of buying, you know, a couple other properties. And that's when I started to move more into the multifamily realm instead of single family properties. But it was definitely a crazy time. It was a crazy time when it was going before the market crashed, because the moment that a property would go on the market, I'm talking like the first day, there would be like 20 contracts on it. People were bidding like $20,000 over asking. Like, it was like bananas. And like I said, when it crashed, it crashed. Even the property that I said went up from $237 to $350 in 1 year, that went down to like $50,000-$60,000 too. So, I mean, these properties dropped, and when they dropped, they dropped so much that it was scary. It was like, okay, when is this ever going to rebound? And what am I going to do with this property that I owe X amount on, and it's only worth, you know, a third or a fourth of what, you know, I paid for it. So it was a crazy time, but I learned so much from it. If something like that ever happens again, I'm like going all in. Yeah. That's what I learned. Go all in. I wish I would have gone and bought like 20 of those properties, you know, back then. But at the time, like I said, I was very young. I just wasn't thinking in that way. I was more fearful of it versus looking at the opportunity.
For sure. For sure. Were you able to keep those properties at that time during the market crash?
Yes. So during the market crash, I was able to keep it because, I mean, the rental market was still pretty strong. So I never had a problem renting it, especially Northern Virginia is such a transient area. There's always people in and out. You have the military bases. My vacancy rate here was like pretty much zero. Like I never had a problem with vacancies. So I just decided to ride it out. I know a lot of people did like, short sales and things of that nature. I was more inclined to keep my credit right. So I never even thought about doing a short sale or trying to, you know, just force a foreclosure. So I just held on to it. And I ended up, one of them I actually just sold in November. I'm doing a 1031 exchange with it. And I made six figures on it. So, I mean, if you know, riding it out for me was the best option.
Right.
Because eventually it rebounds and then you're building equity on it as you make payments and things of that nature. So, I mean, for me, I just rolled it out. I just rolled the wave.
Definitely. Got it. So you also mentioned that you were able to pick up a couple properties during that period of time, the market crash. Can you talk to us more about that and what that was like? Because, you know, a lot of people may be too afraid or kind of hesitant to kind of scoop up properties during a time like that, even though to some it might seem like the obvious thing to do.
Mm-hmm. So, like I said, in hindsight, it's definitely the right thing to do. I wish I would have picked up more. So basically, once the market crashed, I started to look towards my hometown. Northern Virginia is so expensive in general anyway. I don't know if anyone is familiar with the DC market, but the DC market is like really expensive. So I started looking at my hometown, Rochester, New York, in terms of how can I leverage some of the properties there. Rochester is a place that it's a medium-sized city. I think the metro area is about 1 million people. That's the metro area. The city proper, maybe 250,000 people. So not a huge city. And so what typically happens with more of those smaller, medium-sized cities is they don't feel the crashes in the way that the large cities feel. So the properties there had crashed a little bit, but it was still, you know, not as risky, I felt, because it wasn't crashing in the way that it was in other places. And the first multifamily property that I bought up there, I bought a two-family and it was $70,000. So I'm like, you can't really beat that. It's a two family. It was renting for $700 on each side. This was 2010, and it was $70,000. So that was the first multifamily property that I purchased. And it was a great investment. The property has since gone up quite a bit. But the Rochester market is actually Rochester, Buffalo, Cleveland, all those cities in that Great Lakes region are still, to me, fairly inexpensive. When you really think about the amount of rent that comes in as compared to the price. So I started to just focus on the Rochester area, knowing that it's probably not going to fall too much. And I was right. Essentially, I bought it in 2010. It didn't fall at all, actually. It just continued to kind of moderately go up, which was, you know, great for me. And once I did that, the rest is kind of history. I've always focused mainly on Rochester. I've thought about other areas, but I would say one of the biggest things for me is knowing the area, because I thought about Baltimore, right? Baltimore is right now, a lot of people are talking about Baltimore being the next gentrified place. Mm-hmm. But for me, I like to know the city because, you know, I can, if somebody tells me a street in Rochester, I know, okay, if you're on that particular street, once you get to that street, it may be a little different than if you're, you know, a little bit south, right? I know it. I know the city very well. So it was easy for me to kind of capitalize on the market at that time and know which areas to invest in. So that was kind of my strategy during the market crash. And I just continued to do that. I don't think my strategy has actually changed very much since then, you know, because for me, like I said, I really am into the more buy and hold strategy anyway. So, yeah.
Definitely. Is a couple follow up questions. But the first thing is something you mentioned, I think is very important that people kind of gloss over. You know, a lot of people want to go for what's popular. They want to go for, you know, what's in the news, what's online, as far as like where to invest. But they forget something that you mentioned. It's important to know the city. It's important to know the city and not just like blindly invest just because someone said it was cool or you thought it was a good idea. You know, it's important to know the city. So I think it's great that you mentioned that. And I'm sure knowing the city has helped you as you continue to grow your portfolio out there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue and on Twitter at Bread Podcast. That's B-R-E-D Podcast. Until next time.
Rose is your name, but when you poop, it sure don't smell like roses. Your number two burns the hair in my nose, but we fought hand in paw. Now your poop don't stink at all. Now that the air is clear, I'll treasure your front and rear, my sweet rose.
Instantly neutralize poop stink with Poop Fighter from World's Best Cat Litter for the world's best cat.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.